In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. Please be seated. My dearly beloved in Christ, we continue our catechism study today with the third lesson of the Baltimore Catechism, entitled The Unity and Trinity of God. In the last lesson, we discussed the various perfections of God and learned, hopefully, quite a bit about God Himself, what He is like. And we would like to continue this study of God in today's lesson with the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. And first of all, let us always remember that there is only one God. There can be only one God, because God by His nature is the supreme being, and if there were two gods, neither would be supreme, since neither would have power over the other. It only stands to reason that there can be only one God. How many persons are there in God? In God there are three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Father is God. He is the first person of the Trinity. The Son is God. He is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And the Holy Ghost is God and the third person of the Blessed Trinity. Now, what do we mean by the Blessed Trinity? By the Blessed Trinity, we mean one and the same God in three divine persons. One and the same God in three divine persons. And we will explain what that means shortly. Now, when we say that God the Father is the first person, God the Son is the second person of the Trinity, and God the Holy Ghost is the third person, what do we mean by this? Do we mean that one of them preceded or began to exist before the next and so on? No, when we speak of first, second, and third with regard to the divine persons, we do this to indicate that from all eternity, the second is begotten by the first, by God the Father, and the third person proceeds from the Father and the Son, from the first two persons. So it is an order that is used to indicate what we call the procession of the persons, but it is important for us to understand that no one person began to exist before any of the others. All three persons are eternal. They never had a beginning. God Himself never had a beginning. The Holy Ghost, when we use this term, the word ghost is used for the Holy Ghost to the third person of the Trinity. The word ghost applied here means spirit. Now, we cannot prove from our reason that there are three persons in God. We know this only from divine revelation. It is interesting to note that in the Old Testament, this doctrine, this truth, was unknown among the chosen people. They had not been taught. It was not revealed to them. They had not been taught that there are three persons in God. All they knew is that there was one God. The reason why this mystery was not taught is because the people in the Old Testament, who were very prone to idolatry, would not have understood it, and they would have thus begun to worship three gods. And we know that the Jewish people, the chosen people, the people of Abraham, his race, were very prone to idolatry, as were the nations around them. You remember that when Moses went up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, and he came down and found the people worshiping a golden calf. And so Almighty God did not reveal in the Old Testament this doctrine, this truth, that there are three persons in one God. He merely revealed to them the truth that there is only one God. However, Almighty God indicated, or hinted, you might say, at a plurality of persons. We know that when Almighty God created Adam and Eve, "Let us make man," He said, "to our image and likeness," referring to some sort of plurality. When Almighty God confused the tongues of the people at the building of the Tower of Babel, again we find in Scripture the wording, "Let us go down and confuse their tongues." So Almighty God referring to himself in plural number, indicating the three persons. But again, it wasn't really taught to the people in the Old Testament. There are also several other places or instances in the Old Testament where this doctrine was again hinted at or in some way symbolized or foreshadowed, but never taught. This was reserved till the New Testament. What words of Christ clearly tell us of the Holy Trinity? The words of Christ, which clearly tell us of the Holy Trinity, are, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." This is found in the 28th chapter of St. Matthew, verse 19, and occurred after our divine Lord had risen from the dead, when he appeared to his disciples, and I believe he appeared to about 500 of them on a mountain, and he commanded them to go forth and to teach, baptizing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now notice in these words of our divine Lord, he sends them forth with the commission or the command to baptize in the name, singular. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He says name, which is singular, and then he goes on to name three persons, indicating to us that there is one God by the, again, singular noun, name, and then going on to name the three persons in God. We know also there were many times when our divine Lord spoke of his Father. He also said, "I and the Father are one." He said that he would send the Paraclete, or that his Father would send the Paraclete, indicating the other of the three persons. We know that when our divine Lord was baptized by St. John the Baptist in the Jordan, that the Holy Ghost descended as a dove, and that a voice was heard from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So there you had the voice of the Father, referring to Christ as his Son, with the Holy Ghost hovering in the form of a dove. Are the three divine persons really distinct from one another? Yes. The three divine persons are really and truly distinct from one another. They are also perfectly equal to one another because all are one and the same God. Keep in mind this truth. There is only one God, but still there are three persons which are really distinct from one another. There was a heresy in the early centuries of the church, the first few centuries after Christ, I believe it was called Sabellianism, a heresy which taught that the Holy Trinity merely meant that there are three ways of considering God. Three different names we have to call the one God when we want to express a different action that he performed, or a different role, you might say. And this was condemned as a heresy. Basically, this heresy was saying there is one God and really only one person. We just have three different ways of thinking about God or looking at him. No, on the contrary, the church taught very emphatically that while there is and can be only one God, there are three distinct persons in God. This is a mystery. This is not something that we can fully understand or fathom. We really can't understand it at all. We can understand what the church is teaching in this mystery, but we cannot understand how it can be. Can we fully understand how the three divine persons, though really distinct from one another, are one and the same God? No. We cannot fully understand how the three divine persons, though really distinct from one another, are still one and the same God, because this is a supernatural mystery. What is a supernatural mystery? A supernatural mystery is a truth which we cannot fully understand, but which we firmly believe because we have God's word for it. We know that God is truth itself. God could not tell a lie. God could not err. God could not deceive. And God told us so. Christ taught it. The word of God, the Bible, reveals this truth of the Blessed Trinity, so we believe it. We accept it. Faith means that we accept something with our intellect, in our mind, even though we cannot understand it. As a matter of fact, when we fully understand something, we're not taking it on faith. We're accepting it because it makes sense to us, or we understand it. A supernatural mystery is something which we cannot fully understand. We have to simply accept it on the Word of God, who is truth. So this mystery of the Blessed Trinity is especially a supernatural mystery, one of these truths that we can in no way understand. It does not make sense to our human reason. It is something we have to simply believe. There is a story told of Saint Augustine, that Saint Augustine one day was trying to understand how there can be three persons in one God. And he was walking along the shore of the ocean, thinking of this, thinking about this in his mind, walking along, trying to figure out how can there be three persons in one God. There must be some kind of clue, he thought, that he could understand it. And as he was walking along, he saw a little boy who had dug a hole, and he had a little pail, like children do on the beach. And he was running back and forth from the shore to from the water to where he had dug this hole in the sand, pouring water from his pail into the little hole that he had dug a foot and a half or 2 feet deep. And St. Augustine, very much looking for a little bit of a distraction from his problem, a little bit of recreation, was amused in watching this boy, and he said, "What are you doing?" And the little boy said, "Oh, sir, I'm going to take all of the water that's in this ocean and pour it with my pail into the hole in the sand. I'm going to put the ocean into this hole." And St. Augustine just chuckled a little bit, and he said, "Well, that's impossible. You can't do that. There's way too much water in the ocean for you to fit it all into that little hole." And the little boy, and he said to Augustine, "I can put all this water into that hole much more easily than you can understand the mystery of the Blessed Trinity." And then as the story goes, I don't know whether it really happened or not, but as the story goes, the little boy then disappeared. And the little boy was the Christ child, appearing to St. Augustine to help him realize he might as well stop trying to understand or fathom this mystery. It is something that has to be simply accepted. It cannot be fully comprehended. It is, again, a supernatural mystery, and by supernatural, we mean something which is related to God in His own divine life and which can be known only from revelation. Now, why is it reasonable for us to believe supernatural mysteries? It is reasonable to believe supernatural mysteries because God, who has revealed them, can neither deceive nor be deceived, as we say in the act of faith. We believe in all of the truths of the Holy Catholic Church because they are revealed by God, who can neither deceive nor be deceived, as we said, God Himself. So therefore, it is reasonable that we accept what God is revealing. Someone will say, "Well, why do you believe that mystery? It doesn't make sense." And you say, "Well, because God taught it. God revealed it." That's a very reasonable approach to accepting something. There are people in the world who believe many truths of science or mathematics that they have never figured out themselves, they have never explored, they just learned it in a textbook. And they say, "Well, this science book was written by a scientist, and he was a very smart man, he must know what he's talking about, so I'm accepting what he is saying in this book, even though it is about something that I've never explored or studied or even seen. I just believe it." How do you know that there is a continent below North America called South America? Have you ever been there? Most of us haven't. Have you seen it? Most of us haven't. We accept that because the geography books say so, and it's accepted by reasonable men, and it would be unreasonable to doubt it. So also, it would be highly unreasonable to refuse to accept what God Himself teaches. Shall we ever understand the mystery of the Blessed Trinity? We shall understand the mystery of the Blessed Trinity in heaven when we see God face to face. But even then, we shall not comprehend this mystery, that is, understand it fully. We will understand it to a limited degree, but we will not be able fully to comprehend this mystery even in heaven. This mystery must be simply taught and again accepted. It can be explained. We can use symbols to try and indicate basically what we mean, what the Church means by this mystery, but we cannot fully explain how it can be. You remember that St. Patrick, in teaching the mystery of the Blessed Trinity, picked up a shamrock, a little clover leaf from the ground, a little plant that has three leaves. And he held this up in the sight of the people and he said, you see this little shamrock, one plant, but three leaves. And so he said, one God, but three persons in God. It is just an example. It doesn't prove it. It demonstrates what we mean by these words. Another example that is related is that of St. Joseph Cupertino, a very simple priest who, as it showed in the movie, explaining to the bishop the belief in the Blessed Trinity, and his understanding of it, took a blanket and folded it three times. And he said, you see, three folds, but one blanket. Three folds in the one folded blanket. Three persons in one God. These are simple demonstrations. They do not prove the truth, but basically they demonstrate what we mean by these words. Three persons in one God. Now, what is the special prayer in honor of the Blessed Trinity? The special prayer that we say in honor of the Blessed Trinity is called the Doxology, and it is the following prayer. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. This is a beautiful prayer expressing our faith, Trinity, and an act of worship of the Blessed Trinity. We also have another prayer by which we honor the Blessed Trinity, and that is the sign of the cross, in which we use those words of Christ when he sent his apostles forth to teach the truth, when we say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. This sign of the cross, this little prayer, expresses two truths. It expresses our belief in the Blessed Trinity by the words that we say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And it also expresses our belief in the redemption wrought by Christ on the cross by making the sign of the cross, touching our forehead, our breast, and each shoulder as we say the words, tracing over ourselves the sign of the cross, showing forth our belief that we were redeemed by the bloody death of Christ on the cross. So these are two beautiful prayers, and especially the sign of the cross is one that we say very often at the beginning and the end of all our prayers. And we should reflect upon what we are saying when we make the sign of the cross. We are expressing our belief that there are three persons in one God, even though we can't understand it, we can't explain it, we cannot understand how it can be, but we know that it is true. We know there are three persons in God because God himself revealed it. Let us always remember, with regards to supernatural mysteries, another of them being, for example, the real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist, things that we cannot understand, we must not try to understand. Some people rack their brains trying to figure out how this can be, and they end up denying it. They end up losing their faith because they try to comprehend what cannot be comprehended by our puny human intelligence. As we read in Scripture, God's ways are not man's ways, and man's ways are not God's ways, meaning that God, who is infinite, cannot be fully understood and comprehended by our puny, finite, and very limited intelligence. Let us thank Almighty God for revealing to us this beautiful truth. Let us express our love, our adoration of Him, one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.